Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man is multi-talented, ladies and gentlemen. He acts, he does voiceover work, he sings and plays the guitar, he's dabbled in a bit of comedy, he does everything. It's Al Gibson.
Well, that's quite an intro, man. You forgot. I can grow hair, but I choose to shave it off as well.
Says you.
I'm becoming you.
So modelling isn't on the agenda as well?
No, not in this body, no.
So obviously, like I said in the intro, you do a myriad of things. Mm. How do you find that helpful in regards to paying the bills?
Actually, being diverse is, I found, had to be fairly important. Because you hit the nail on the head straight up just in the question, is that that's how you pay the bills. Because if you're only going to do one thing, you have to be either really, really good at it to continue doing it, which hopefully I am, I like to think. But I sometimes gigs dry up, and that's what COVID taught everyone too as well. But I've been a musician for a really long time, more than anything, and had the day job as well, and did all the stability stuff. I did stand up, I did the voiceover things you're talking about, acting, but none of them pay as much as music. So, but when the music dries up, there are other things that you've got to do. Yeah,
absolutely. And have you found also, like, as one crossed over, so for example, the agent puts out a thing saying, we need an actor who can also play the guitar, and you're like, hey, I can play the guitar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So has that sort of thing been helpful as well?
Yeah, it has. And also casting agents that wanted an amputee as well.
Well, yes, explain. You'll have to explain.
The ring finger on my left hand, which is, if you're a right-handed guitarist, that's a very important finger, is missing because my wedding ring, because I was married at the time, I'm not now, ripped it off. And a week and a half later, we broke up.
Well, was it because it was her that ripped it off?
No, it was water skiing.
So, ah.
Yeah, don't wear any jewellery when you're water skiing.
That's the moral to the story.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, I even got asked to, because of being an amputee, that I got asked, two roles. So yeah.
Well, there you go. So you see, it comes in strange ways.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing to do, to actually just get a role, though. You know, it's a big price to pay.
So, do you have a preference though with the acting or the music or the voiceover? Like, do you have a preference? Something you enjoy more?
Well, the voiceover thing comes into the acting. No, not really. I love it all. I really love it all. The acting, I had to eventually take seriously. I was kind of bullshitting my way through a bit of stuff. But the music, you know, it sort of keeps the lights on, which gives me enough time to do stuff during the day, like be on podcasts and pursue acting and go to auditions and that sort of stuff. So one is practical and the other is fun. I couldn't really pick one that I could tell you is my absolute favourite, because I walk around all day doing stupid voices and accents.
Well, it's probably a good thing, because it means that you're always happy with what you're doing.
I guess so, yeah. Well, look, you know, after losing a finger and still being able to play guitar and to sing, any gig, even the shit gigs, are good gigs. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Now, how I first met you, I'm not sure if you're aware of this even, but your agent sent me, because he didn't have a show reel for you, so he sent me your voiceover reel. And I was like, oh, that guy sounds good. He can obviously do character work, which is the kind of stuff that I love in regards to when I need an actor. Yeah. I need someone who can do good character work. Now, in regards to your voiceover stuff, though, when you just have your voice as your only tool, how do you go about building that character? So, yeah.
That's a really good question. I think the script also informs, you know, what the character's going to be. But it's always, I don't know, like, you can look at someone, if you have an image in your head, if you're lucky enough that someone gives you a cartoon character or a drawing or a photo of that person, like, if they've got big teeth, you know, you can, you know, fill your mouth up with whatever. And so, you know, you've got a sound, and then you could sort of move an accent around it, or whether they look like they're British or they're Australian or they're a redneck or whatever. So I don't know. It's I think any voiceover artist too is like when they look at something or when they start something, that voice evolves over time as well. Like I think Homer Simpson started out as, you know, a good example.
Yes.
I think he started as Walter Matthau.
Yes, yes.
And, and I think because of all the emotional shifts that Homer had to do, and it was like he, up and down, the voice streamlined into what it is now, which I reckon even better.
Oh, 100%. No, yeah. And even Dan, I can't pronounce his surname.
Castellanato.
That's it, yeah. So yeah. Even he will say precisely exactly that, because he freely admits that for the first season, the voice is 1,000% different to what it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
It evolved, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I'd heard him say that it was like part Walter Matthau and something else, but I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
But the thing I like working about, because Al, we'll go into obviously your wonderful work for Beer Nuts very shortly, but the one thing I really like about working with you, Al, is so the very first time I'll go back to, you got the part and then you called me up and you're like, well, is there a voice style? Is there something you want me to focus on? Is there a person you want me to imitate? Like, how do I, how do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
And I really like that you did that, because it meant that I could tell you what I wanted and you went away, because it was for Harold Tutt. And I said to you, you know, David Stratton from the movie show. And you said, kind of. And I said, well, that's who I had in my head. And so you went and you watched a couple of YouTube clips and you came in and when we did the rehearsal, you essentially did a killer impression of him, which was precisely what I was after, and you smashed it. So do you like having a good reference point?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, again, like the voice is going to inform the character. Like even the last one we did for you, the horse racing thing, and you know that they're up here. When you listen to them, they don't talk like that all the time, but yeah, they sound a little bit like Michael Caton, a little bit faster speaking. So yeah, it's, and that tells me how I'm going to move, how I'm going to hold myself, and all that sort of stuff as well. So for me, the voice is really important.
So and you do prefer, like, if a director gives you a specific target, like I need you to be like Fred, or I need you to do it like you prefer that way?
I do, yeah. Look, sometimes I like to figure it out myself though too, but if you have something in mind and that's your vision, then you know I'm happy to play along too, so there's that. I mean, you're the director, so
absolutely I am, and don't you ever forget it.
I did once, but I was asleep, so I think we've got to pass on that one.
Now, while we are, we may as well continue on with the Beer Nuts theme. You've been in quite a few of my films now. Do you have a favourite role or Beer Nuts story you'd like to...
One that I'm happy to share?
Yes, yes.
Sorry, I just turned that on flight mode. I honestly don't know.
Do you have a favourite character? Because you've been in quite a few now.
I guess I have now. Harold Tutt was probably my favourite because he was just such a pompous asshole. he was a lot of fun to portray, because he's sort of like that Merlot swilling art critic kind of person that likes to come across as you're like otherworldly and everything, but really they're broke as... I don't know if you can swear, but
yeah. You can say fuck, like, you say whatever you want.
I was going to say broke as fuck and just putting on that sort of thing. You know, I'm an art critic. I don't need to talk to any of you.
So that one was obviously, if you want to go to the website, it was the biography of a star, Christian Victoria, was that particular...
Christian Victoria, yeah. My favourite moment, but also the most infamous moment, is you in the chapel on the wedding, How to Host a Wedding.
Yes.
And the poor guy, the celebrant, the poor dude. I can't...
Go on.
I can honestly say that I think that every single person in that room felt for him.
I didn't.
Except you. Because he just... He got in this loop. He missed a line or whatever.
It was one word, because what he was doing, he was saying, I think it was like for, the word for as in F-O-R, instead of has. And so if you switch those words around, one's past tense and one's present tense, and so the sentence simply does not make sense. So it's something that we can't have. Like there's other times where people stumble, but you're like, well, that's fine because the meaning is the same. But this, the meaning was completely different.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, and I don't know how many times we did it, but there was a lot. I mean, it was like over 30 takes easily. And then you told me about that, and someone had said to you, oh, do you think that was a bit harsh? I said that you were a bit harsh. And then you heard that he'd stopped acting after that.
It was the last role he ever did was for Peanuts Productions.
I mean, I feel bad for him, but, I mean, oh, okay. Oh,
that's so funny. Well, I mean, it's funny now. At the time, it wasn't, because apparently, again, who know me, so I kind of shoot from the hip. Would you say that's a fair statement, Al?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you sound friendly.
Sound friendly.
You sound friendly, yeah.
But the reality is a whole different...
Yeah, just don't turn your back and hide your wallet. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
But yes, Al is quite right. Apparently, I don't remember doing this, but I don't deny it because it sounds like something I would do. Apparently, after about the 12th time, apparently I just was very exasperated and I said, for fuck's sake!
Yeah, yeah. That happened. I totally get it. I've been in that situation, not me forgetting lines, but I've been the one that's, for fuck's sake, man. Like, you had one fucking job. And so I try not to be that person.
In my defense, because I did, and hopefully you can back me up here, I did try everything I could. Like, we gave him the script to read. I rehearsed it with him real quick. I did everything I could to get it out of him properly. I wasn't just standing there just yelling at the poor man.
True.
I was trying to help and work with the dude.
It was an incredibly hot day. All the windows were shut. There was no ventilation, no water, and we're stuck in this chapel.
You make it sound like I was torturing people. Just calm down.
Okay. So you said tell the story.
Go on. Tell your version of the story, Al.
No. It was just, and in between takes, it's like, by the time, like, we all felt bad for him, but because we're all sweating and you know, because we're dressed up like for a wedding and everything. Yeah. And so it's really hot. But yeah, we're with you at the, for fuck's sake, man, come on. Jesus Christ. Can we just fucking get out of here? that's where we were at. So that's like, yeah, it was torturous to watch him being tortured and to sit there and in the heat.
And to recap, that's your favourite Beer Nuts Productions memory.
Nah, that's my favourite story about you. It's not so much a favourite memory. I don't know. My favourite memory is when I get paid. So that's good. I get paid on the day.
That is always very good.
Yeah, yeah.
And so going back to Al Gibson, because this was all about you, obviously, do you find the music a good stress relief as well? So, like, you get home, let's say for the wedding film, for example, it's been a long day, you get home, are you the kind of dude that'll then pick up the guitar and just give it a strum and just sort of the troubles will melt away? Is that sort of who you are?
Yes and no. It depends. Like, sometimes, if I'm going to sit at home, like, I'll mess around with, like, minor chords and stuff and do ballads and everything, something soppy. But, yeah, like, at a gig, it's rock and funk and all this stuff. But I'm probably more inclined to listen to music than I am to play it at home, yeah.
And that's your chill out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would have lost my mind years ago if it wasn't for music.
Okay.
Because, like, I was doing a day job, like I said, but I was doing that for many, many years. I was working in optics, of all things. And if I had not been a musician and gigging that entire time, I think I would have gone absolutely crazy.
You would have jumped off a bridge somewhere?
Yeah. No, yeah. Yep, figuratively. Absolutely. So it's kept me sane, basically. You know, it's also paid for trips overseas and do all that sort of stuff as well. Yeah, but now it's all I do. I'm at a stage in my life. I'm 54. I'll be 55 in February, and it was a big leap of faith to leave the day job and the security of the day job. But the thought of going back to a day job now just depresses the hell out of me, and I don't. That's nothing against anyone who has a day job, because we need you.
No, I understand. It's, you've got a creative side that needs to be unleashed.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the saying is, like, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I don't think that's the exact quote, but yeah, something like that.
No, I'm with you 100%. I agree. Because, I mean, look, you personally just might not, your personality type is not suited to that, it's suited to this. Is that, yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly. And I used to get into sometimes some awkward moments. When I'm working in an optometry practice, it's considered a very conservative industry. And so you make these little jokes here and there that people wondering what the hell am I talking about for a start, but they just didn't expect that to happen too. So yeah, sometimes people didn't understand where I was coming from. So when I did catch myself about to say something that might be taken the wrong way, it's a rare and beautiful moment.
I say just let it be.
Well, yeah, now I don't care. I honestly don't care.
No, I think that's the way to be, to be quite honest. Now, if people want to learn more about Al Gibson, where can they go? What can they do?
Okay, call me. No, don't do that.
So social media.
I'm on Facebook, although I have deleted the app from my phone. I only check it on my laptop now because I was spending far too much time on that, and also Instagram. I have my five-piece band Clusterfunk, and we play around the place as well. And that goes from anywhere to a duo to five-piece as well.
You got some cool acting gigs coming up?
I have got nothing coming up.
Oh, dear.
I was on hold for a Netflix show twice. But then the writer's strike hit. Yes. Now I really don't know where I am. I have not heard anything.
Well, I best.
And it was for a Netflix thing too, which would have been great.
I best get busy getting the next piece up and happening so you can have another job.
Yeah, thank God for you, man. Oh, wow. Is that the first time anyone said that?
It's very hurtful, Al. Very hurtful indeed. You'll never work again. But what is your Instagram handle for those who want to just give you a like and a follow?
I think it's just Al Gibson.
Well, easy as.
Yeah, very, very easy, yeah.
Now, Al is going to finish off with a song.
We'll
get you set up very short. While you're setting up, I will just obviously thank you for being on the podcast. I do appreciate you coming in. And, of course, for those folks at home, make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment, rate and review. 5 stars is always good. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. Now, and you can, of course, Al's been in about 5, I reckon at least 5, maybe even 6 Beer Nuts Productions films. Yeah, been in quite a few. So if you go onto the Beer Nuts Productions website, hit the movies page, you'll be able to see a whole bunch of Al Gibson. So he's worth watching, ladies and gentlemen, because he does do a very fine job, which is why I keep employing him.
True.
So Al, what song are you going to sing, and why have you chosen that particular piece?
Okay, well, I mean, you like to tell people that you have international fans. It's more like fan, I think.
It's very hurtful, Al, but continue.
But I know, I just thought something that is basically, it's an international song. Like, it's known all around the world. Just do a Crowded House song. What's it called?
Better Be Home Soon.
Better Be Home Soon, that's right.
That's what you told me.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hoarse too, because I've had a full weekend of gigs, so... Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on you. It's pushing me aside to stretch on forever. And I know I'm right the first time in my life. That's why I tell you better be home soon. Pushing back the coats of lies and deception, back to the nothingness, like a weekend in Townsville. When you know, you know. And I know I'm right for the first time in my life. That's why I tell you better be home soon. Don't say no, don't say nothing's wrong. When I get back home, baby, I'll be gone. So, a little bit too powerful for my voice at this point. It would cause me pain if we were to end it. I could start again, and you can depend on it. And I know I'm right for the first time in my life. And that's why I tell you, you better be gone soon. That's why I tell you, you better be home soon.